likely today. Oh, my clicker's not working yet. Facing life. All of it. And this is a passage that is written primarily to young people. So JCB, that's why we pushed your Hope Explore course back a week. Basically, I'm going to talk to you this morning and everyone else can just listen in. But it's relevant to them too. They just need to make the relevant connections themselves. Basically, I'm going to want to talk to you this morning. I wonder, as you look back over the last little while, let's say the last year, what great experiences have you had? Think about that. So when you talk about the person next to you, okay? What was your best experiences in the last year? If you're old and boring, what great things have the young people in your life been doing over the last year? You've got 30 seconds. Tell the person next to you. Right, well, clearly there's been a lot of good experiences. Very good. I wonder what it's been for you. It could have been a summer camp or a holiday. Maybe it's been a sporting tournament. Maybe it's been something you've learned to do. Maybe it's been a theme park. We spent yesterday at Legoland. Yeah, that's what our boys wanted for their birthday, a trip to Legoland, so we were on the roller coaster, we had this really great laser ride, we drank inordinately expensive hot chocolate, and we finished the day with the most incredible fireworks display. So many wonderful things to enjoy when you're young, aren't there? As well as brilliant opportunities to learn and succeed. We are so privileged. We live in an age where, you know, whatever background, whatever family you come to, if it's your gifting to perhaps excel in academic things, then you can go to university. You have the opportunity potentially to get a job perhaps no one in your family's ever done before. All kinds of things like that. If the academic thing isn't yours, then there's all kinds of training options open to you. So many good opportunities when you're young. The thing is, sadly, we know that's not the whole picture. So many young people in our society are increasingly struggling to cope. We're seeing increases in all kinds of mental health problems in young people. And obviously lockdowns had a massive impact on that. But the media were reporting on it actually before COVID. Now they reckon 58% of 17 to 19-year-olds have possible eating problems. I assume that means not diagnosed, but it looks likely. 58%, over half. But even before lockdown, that was 44% in 2017. Many young people face anxiety, depression, a sense of hopelessness, unable to answer the question, perhaps, well, who am I? Who am I? Perhaps you sense some of those things too. It can feel impossible to know how to face life. Now, it's really important to, you know, there are all kinds of reasons for mental health problems. I don't want to simplify that. There will be times where many of us struggle with our mental health. But if you're seeing a sudden massive increase in it across a whole generation, that should be a warning sign to us that actually those of us in the generations above aren't giving you the resources you need to cope with life. The good news is there are foundations that we can lay in our lives that God gives us that will put us in a much stronger position to be able to face life. They won't take away the problems or the struggles, but they will give us a strong foundation. They'll give you a strong foundation to face being a teenager, compared to your friends who don't know Jesus. Yet the writer of Ecclesiastes has been writing and exploring his feelings of hopelessness, this sense that life is meaningless. He's wrestled with all those feelings that perhaps you feel. And at the end, here at the end of his book, this is what he wants to pass on to you, especially to young people. He wants you to know what he's learned and what foundations you can build your life on. So what does he say? He says, verse 9, young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to. Take it all in. That's not what you expect the Bible to teach, perhaps. It's not what your friends think Christianity teaches. Enjoy life. And they think, surely Christianity is full of rules that restrict your freedom. It's telling you what you can't do and other stuff like that. If your friends think God is sort of the ultimate head teacher, all rules and regulations, they really haven't understood him at all. God wants you to have fun. He wants you to enjoy the good things of life. It was his good creation. It is his good creation that we live in, rather. Even though it has been so spoiled by sin in so many ways. The good things, things that are genuinely good, were God's idea in the first place. Laughter was his idea. Friendships are God's idea. Bonfires. Sleep. Sports, falling in love, steak and chips. So many good things that ought to be enjoyed. He didn't have to make life so varied, did he? Take God out of the picture. You miss so much. Life is in God's good creation, and so you should enjoy it as being. And did you notice that all this talk of enjoying life reaches its climax there at the beginning of chapter 12 with the reminder that all of that enjoyment of God's good things should remind us, say, hang on, and let's not forget our Creator. He's the one that all this good stuff should point us to. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. All the joy and wonder in life should point us to the one who is the source of all joy and wonder. Every time you have a proper good time, that is a gift of God's kindness to you. What a God. The question is, what difference does that make? What difference does that make? So what? I said it was a foundation for building your life on. It might not strike you as that at first. What difference will it make? Well, I've got three things. I've given you 3 points on your sheet. You can fill in as we go through them. First this, if you receive every good thing as a gift from God, it will become more wonderful to you. If it's a gift that you don't feel you've earned or have a right to, but it's just something that's given as a gift of God's love, it becomes more wonderful. Yeah, we all know that person who's unimpressed by everything. Don't be that person. Person who sees a stunning sunset and shrugs. Who hears a funny joke, but you know, their look is they don't do that, so they're just, you know. Let's be people who embrace all that God has given us to enjoy, knowing He smiles when we enjoy His goodness to us, and that we give Him thanks for that. So actually, if you seek everything as a gift of God's goodness, you will enjoy life more than your friends. But secondly, it also means, verse 10, there's no need to worry. Refuse to worry, he says. When he's, hey, look, enjoy life, refuse to worry. No need to worry, even when you're facing big decisions. Yeah, I remember just what a gift that was to me at the time when I was trying to decide, well, what I want to do, where I want to go for university. I'd made my mind up what my top two choices were, and I was praying that God would show me what was really best. Well, I got rejected by my top choice. And my second choice gave me an offer that was so low that basically I'd already got my place before I sat my final A-level exams. So after I got over the disappointment of being rejected, I realised actually that's exactly what I've been praying for. God had shown me what he wanted for me, what would be best. And off I went to Warwick University. And actually, at that university, I grew immensely in my walk with the Lord Jesus, in a way that I don't think would have ever happened at the other place. I think I'd have had the same opportunities that I did. And I also realised just how easy it was for me to relax about those decisions compared to my friends who were trying to make those decisions without the knowledge that was a perfectly wise father leading them through it all. So you don't need to worry if this is your view of life. Perhaps it's not university choices you're worried about. Perhaps it's something far bigger. What about climate change? I picked this one because actually, again, in a survey done a year ago, nearly 60% of young people approached said they felt very worried or extremely worried about climate change. So if you've got 10 friends, even if it's not you, if they're average, 6 of them are very worried about this. More than 45% said that feeling their worries about climate change affected their daily lives. 3/4 of them said the future was frightening. 56% said they thought humanity is doomed. Perhaps you're in the majority, you're anxious about the planet. But you know, it is a good thing that you care so much about the world, because this is God's world and it's our responsibility to be responsible stewards of it. But to feel like it's all your responsibility, and if we mess it up, then we are all doomed, is to give yourself a burden that you cannot bear. It's a crippling burden, and that's what so many young people are experiencing. Or to feel that we try our best, but if other people don't listen to us, then we're doomed. That's equally crippling, because all you're left with, you're left angry and disappointed and helpless in the face of things you just can't control. We should certainly care for God's world. We should pray for our world, but we can also trust God for the future, because we are in the hands of a good cause. Things are not out of control. One day Jesus will renew all things, including the earth. See, because you're living in the care of such a generous God, you can refuse to worry, even though there's so much you can't control, even though there's so much that is so fleeting. Everything seems to pass so quickly, and what's the point? And by the way, I think, just to get technical for a minute, I think that's the meaning, really. When we got everything is meaningless in this passage. What it really means in this context is fleeting, is passing. It's a word that's got lots of different translations into English. Translators are in a bind because they want to use the same word so that we know it's this kind of key word in Ecclesiastes. But at the beginning of the book, meaningless makes good sense. By the end here, all this sense of being fleeting. It's a word to do with breath. Imagine breathing out on a winter's day. You see your breath and it's gone. How can we live in a time like that? We live in the care, in the hand of a generous God, even though everything is so fleeting. Let me give you one last thing. Knowing the Creator, knowing your life is a good gift from Him, and it's to be lived His way, okay, it's, he says, remember God, you will give an account to God for everything you do. It's His good gift, so use it His way. Not only stops us from worrying about things, from worrying about the planet, it can stop us from worrying about ourselves. It can allow us to accept who you are. Okay, so the world around us at the moment is saying that you can choose, and you ought to choose, absolutely everything about yourself. You need to define yourself by who you want to be, even whether you're a boy or a girl. You can choose that too, apparently. Which sounds like the ultimate freedom. Create your own identity, be whatever you want to be, whatever feels right. But actually, that is a message that is crushing a generation. With burdens they cannot carry. And they are suffering as a result. Your generation is suffering. And to be honest, if I'm honest, this worries me far more than climate change, important as that is. But your identity and your body are good gifts from God. He has made you how he wants you to be, and he has said that is good. We don't have to work it all out ourselves. Relax and live in the freedom of knowing that God has made you exactly the way you should be. That is such a relief, because you know, when you're a teenager, your head can be so full of conflicted thoughts about who you are and what you want to be and what you feel like today and or which way's up and which way's down and all kinds of things. Being a teenager is quite hard enough without giving you that burden to carry too. So you can stop worrying about who you are. Instead, enjoy the good gifts that God has given to you. Your body, your friends, your family, your education, sports, bonfires, marshmallows, whatever it is. By the way, just on that point, we're on your side. Okay, so if you've got those times when it just feels like life is too hard, why not find an older Christian here and talk to them about it? Actually, they did it once too. Life is the good gift of God. But remember God too. Enjoy life, but remember God. Enjoy life, but remember God. I don't know if you like candy floss or whatever your sweets of choice are. Tastes great, doesn't it? For a bit. But imagine trying to live off candy floss. Yeah. All you would have to eat would be something incredibly sweet that disappears to nothing as soon as you put it in your mouth. It's fun for a treat, but after a while it would start to wear thin, wouldn't it? But yeah, probably at the same time, you'd be left longing for something substantial, but probably by then your body would be hooked on the sugar rush and you wouldn't quite be able to bring yourself to put the candy floss away. Don't live like that. You know, I went online the other day just to have a look, because there's so much stuff that's just offered to you when you go online, on social media and things like that. I sort of skimmed through my feed and I had videos coming up like this. Watch this guy doing an amazing deep dive. Do you know what happens when you photocopy money? My answer is no, unless you just get a picture of money. Aren't these little ducklings trying to get in the water just the cutest? You know, it's all good fun to watch. It's all a bit like candy floss, isn't it? Fine in short bursts, but really not what I want to live on. See, the writer of Ecclesiastes has encouraged us to enjoy life rather than to worry. But he also warns us, don't make the candy floss of life the thing that you live for. Don't make that the thing that is central to your life, because what will happen when it's gone? The TikTok videos, the gaming, the football, the messing about with your friends. Don't make those things absolutely everything to you. We can all easily end up neglecting the important stuff of life. Adults do all the time too. And we neglect too, by the way, the best stuff of life. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. If we only focus on having fun, we won't know how to deal with life when life becomes hard. And if it is isn't hard already, by the way. It will become hard at some point in the future. It says verse 8 of chapter 12. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life, but let them also remember there will be many dark days. And that's why the writer gives us this, that really clever picture of old age in verses 2 to 6. Where the windows of your body start to grow dim, and there are so many grinders left at the millstones, when the strong men are stooped, when the pillars, the guards of your house are getting a bit wobbly. Will what you're living for be something that still there when that's you? Or will you have nothing left to live for? You see, the time may come when just getting out of a chair is a mission. A time when the thought of going to the cinema, you're not going to go to the cinema because that's far too loud, but the person talking to you is far too quiet. When your cup of tea is far too hot, but the room is always far too cold. Bodies fail us. Hard work getting old. Was it your dad says, Joyce, old age is not for sissies. It's not for sissies. Now, when you're 15, that feels like an awful long way away. But actually, he says, don't forget verse 7. One day, the day will come when our bodies will give out. The dust they will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. What will there be in your life then that makes it worth living, when all the fun stuff that you're thinking about now is a distant memory? See, tragically, there are those whose lives are just full of the candy floss. Adults, they live that adult life that's like that, not just their youth. And they find that actually when they reach the dark days, they've got nothing left that's worth living for. When verses 2 to 6 become true of them. And when you reach old age, that can mean that that sort of person becomes the person who is bitter, and the person who's complaining about everything in life. Because all they're left with is aching pains, and they've not got anything bigger. You know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You see, to contrast to that, I think of my mum's best friend. This isn't her, but that's just such a great picture. It's such a great picture that I couldn't not use it. I think of my mum's best friend. She's much older than my mum. She's well into her 80s now. And life is hard work for her. She's very much in the territory described by verses 2 to 6. You know, when we see her, she still radiates such joy and love. That doesn't mean she doesn't struggle when she's in incredible pain. But it means that she doesn't allow those experiences to dominate her outlook in life, because she has something so much bigger. She is someone who has listened to the advice of Ecclesiastes, someone who, in the words of the old translation that she knows, remembered her Creator in the days of her youth. That's verse 1. She's someone who lived her long life to serve the Lord Jesus, always with a sense of the incredible joy of knowing Jesus, of his goodness to her. She is awed and thrilled at the greatness of God. That's what it means to fear God. He says, this is the one thing you need. She is thrilled and awed by her God. And she has discovered his goodness in so many ways as she has enjoyed her long life. So now, even when she's telling you about her latest escapades and holiday, her face is still nearly smiling. Because that's just kind of her resting face. It's the way it's been trained. Do you want to be like them? because you see, how you want to be when you're 92 starts now. So, that's the whole story, verse 13. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. Because he is the one who's going to judge us for all we've done. In other words, have a big view of our awesome God and live life his good way. See, the world is full of people like Solomon and Ecclesiastes trying to find fulfillment and escape from the emptiness of life. You know, actually, you'll only find that fulfillment when you stop looking for it like that. You forget about it and you seek God instead. Broken and often a confusing world, it's great that we can enjoy life when we can. But whether you're 15 and off skiing on the school ski trip, or whether you're 85 and you're off to bed early with a cup of cocoa, you see, we aren't resting our lives on our happiness under the sun. That's the phrase we discover in Ecclesiastes. We aren't resting our hopes on what this world has to offer us, and that alone. Our hope is in the God who made us. And so we follow him through all our days, whether we're young or old. Let's spend a moment in quiet, just responding to God's word individually to this passage, and then we're going to sing to close our service.